கர்மண்ய கர்மய பசியேத. கர்மண்ய கர்மய பசியே அகர்மணி ச கர்மய. சபுத்திமான் மனுஷ்யேஷு சயுக்த கிருஷ்ண கர்ம க்ருதே. சபுத்திமான் மனுஷ்யேஷு சயுக்த கிருஷ்ண கர்ம க்ருதே. So last class we said that the Jnana Karma Sannyasa Yoga topic is going to be discussed elaborately by Krishna. So he gives the introduction in sloka 16 and 17 that we saw in the last class. Introduction to Jnana Karma Sannyasa. What does it mean? Actionlessness through knowledge. Karma Sannyasa means actionlessness or renunciation from karma, freedom from karma. And jnana through knowledge. So the topic is what? Actionlessness through knowledge. Naishkarmya Siddhi. We call it in Vedanta, Naishkarmya Siddhi through knowledge. So in Vedanta, actionlessness through knowledge, you know, in common parlance, it has a different meaning. And in Vedanta, it has a totally different meaning. So normally, actionlessness in normal parlance, we understand that as everybody stopping all work, not doing anything, sitting quiet, not even eating. They don't do any of those things. So physically giving up all actions is what we understand by the term actionlessness in karma parlance. But in Vedanta, what does actionlessness mean? It is freedom from action in spite of being in action. Actionlessness in Vedanta means freedom from action in spite of being engaged in physical activity, even violent activity. So physical actionlessness is one thing, and actionlessness in spite of action is another thing. And that's what Vedanta talks about. Vedanta talks about only the second thing, namely actionlessness in spite of being in the domain of action. So Krishna says, Arjuna, I should now differentiate these two things for you because we cannot understand otherwise. So by knowing the difference between karma and akarma, action and not action, you will become liberated from what? Ashubham, amangalam, dukkham or samsara. So by knowing the difference, you will get liberated from ashubha. So I will tell you what is karma and what is akarma. That's what he is telling. So from this shloka, shloka number 18 onwards, Krishna is going to discuss this elaborately. So this is actually a very, very important shloka, which is we can consider it as a key verse of chapter 4, this particular shloka. And not only in the fourth chapter, you know, one of the very important shlokas in the entire Bhagavad Gita also, this particular shloka. Actually, Shankaracharya, he often mentions this in so many places and writes a very, very big commentary on this kind of shlokas, many of them. It is very, very subtle to understand also. So before understanding this shloka, let us first consider a few fundamental facts of Vedanta. Because otherwise we cannot understand this shloka very elaborately. So now karma, karma is what? Karma is action. Karma is activity, karma is action. And karma can exist only when a karta exists. If there is no doer, there is no karma. So karma can exist as long as there is a karta. And karta, how long? When karta will exist? Karta will exist as long as ajnanam exists. If there is no ignorance, if everybody is a jnani, nobody claims himself to be a karta, right? Jnani claims himself to be akarta. Akarta abhokta. So if somebody claims himself to be a karta, then what he should have? He should have ajnana, right? Ignorance should be there. So karta will exist as long as ajnanam exists. So as long as ajnanam continues, the karta, the doer, the ego, the ahankara, the agent, they all will continue. So as long as Ajnana continues, all these things will continue. So, and as long as Kartrutvam, Kartrutvam is what? Doership. Kartrutvam, that is the abstract noun actually. As long as that continues, so long as karma will continue. So only when there is a karma, there is a Kartrutva Buddhi, right? Because doership there only when there is action. So somebody does action. So Kartrutvam will continue so long as karma will continue. So now, you know, this is a very slightly intricate way of putting this thing. Why do we say so like that? There's a logic for this. Says, the original nature of aham is what? Akarta. Aham, the original nature of I, the capital I, is aham, akarta. That we saw it in the second chapter. Atma, anatma, viveka. We saw the differentiation between atma and anatma. There we saw I, the Chaitanya Rupa Atma, am akarta. I am not a doer any time. That's what we saw. So if I had known my real nature, then certainly I will say, aham akarta asmi. Because I know my true nature. I'm a jnani. Aham naiva kinchit karomi, karma karomi. That's what I will say. We saw that all those things say earlier. Kam gatayati hanti kam. That's what we saw in the shloka. But when I am ignorant of my nature, when I am an ajnani, I am going to identify myself with what? Not with atma, but with anatma, the body, which is karta. Body will have to be active. Mind also has to be active. Body, mind has to be active. So moment I identify, I also become sangha doshaha. Because of association, I become a karta. Because I associate myself with the mind body, because mind body is karta, because I associate myself with that, I say I am also a karta. That's what we normally know. Because of what? Sangha doshaha, association with the body. So because of ignorance alone, I identify myself with the body and become a karta. Even though I am akarta, Chaitanya Supaha, I am akarta, but because of association with the body, I call myself karta. So ignorance is the cause for kartrutva. So for doership, the karanam is what? Ignorance, ajnana. Okay. So ajnanat kartrutvam. Because of ajnanam, kartrutvam. And as long as ajnana continues, as long as ignorance continues, kartrutvam will continue. So long as ignorance is there, doership also will be there. We'll be always claiming that I am doing. The moment I become a karta, then what happens? Okay, I am the doer now. The moment I become a karta, what happens? I identify myself with the body, body-mind complex. That has got lot of cravings because it has got so many desires, it has got so much of emotions, it has got so many goals. So physical body wants lot of comforts. Physical body wants a house, beautiful house, better food, all those things that wants. And mind wants lot of pleasures. It enjoys music, it enjoys dance, movies, all those things mind wants, all those things it enjoys. So the moment I become a karta, I cannot remain quiet at all, at any time. Because that's the nature of the body-mind complex. So automatically, karma comes. The moment I think I am a karta, action automatically comes. You don't have to go and look for an action, it automatically comes. So the moment I become karta, I cannot remain quiet at all. So ajnana, because of that kartrutvam, and because of that karma, that is the sequence. So ignorance is the basis. Because of that doership comes, and because of the doership, I am doer, the karma itself, the action itself comes. So the contention of Vedanta is what? As long as ajnanam continues, kartrutvam will continue. Doership will continue as long as ajnanam continues. And as long as kartrutvam continues, karma also will continue. As long as there is a doership, there is always an action. So further if you go, as long as karma continues, then what happens? Phalam continues. You cannot stop. When your karma is there, phalam automatically continues. So you will have punarapi maranam, punarapi jananam. So samsara will continue. So this is the sequence. But we are interested only up to karma here. Let us not worry about the phalam of karma. Only up to karma let us worry about right now. So ajnanat kartrutvam and kartrutvat karma. See, that equation is now clear. So we can say ajnanam is the seed and kartrutvam is the tree. Because of ajnanam only, kartrutvam comes. So ajnanam, we can call it as a seed from which the tree of doership has emanated. and kartrutvam doership, that becomes in turn the seed for what? For karma, the tree. So from ignorance seed, kartrutvam comes. From kartrutvam seed, karma comes. The karma tree comes. So if you put it in another language, kartrutvam being the seed for karma, see, these are all putting the same thing in different ways. Kartrutvam being the seed for karma, we can say kartrutvam, the doership, is potential karma. Do you understand that? Kartrutvam being the seed for karma action, we can call kartrutvam as potential karma. For, how do you understand that? For example, from the seed, a tree comes. Seed is seed. When we see a seed, we see only a seed. We don't see a tree in that. From the seed, tree comes. But what the seed contains? Seed contains in it potential tree. Seed has in it the branches, the fruit, the leaves, the root, everything seed has. In what form? In potential form, in dormant form. So seed is potentially a tree. So the same way, kartrutvam doership is potentially karma. Okay, the same thing. And ajnanam is potential kartrutvam. In the same argument, ignorance is potential kartrutvam or even potential karma, because from kartrutvam only karma comes. So ajnanam is potential karma, because in ajnanam itself the seed of karma is there. Right? These are not confusing, right? Okay. So in ajnanam, karma is very much there potentially. So in ignorance, karma is there potentially. It has come out in two stages. First, what? Ajnana should be converted into doership, kartrutvam, and then it has to be converted to karma in two stages. So, for all from ajnana. So, every ajnani has got karma within him potentially. So, no ajnani can claim, I can sit quiet. Potentially, he has karma within him. Okay. And what is the difference now? Sometimes the karma is expressed outside. Sometimes the karma manifests outside, and some other time it is dormant and it is unmanifest in that person. Sometimes it is expressed, sometimes it is not expressed. In all the time, but karma is there within an ajnani, either in manifest form or in unmanifest or potential form. So that is why when an ignorant man is active in jagrat avastha, in waking state, he is awake now. So when he is active, he is also active in Sopnavastha. When he is dreaming also, he is active. So, this person is a man of terrible activity. In Sushupti Avastha, in deep sleep Avastha, we say that he is resting. We all say, in deep sleep state, he is resting. But Vedanta says, no. Activities are not gone anywhere. They are all in dormant form in that person who is in deep sleep. Externally, he may not be doing anything, but they are all in dormant form. So the person, if he is sleeping very much, completely deep sleep, let us not think that he is free from activity, only that activity remains in dormant form in him. How do we know that? Because we all say it's dormant form. How do we know that? Because the moment he wakes up, what he says, in his mind all the umpteen thoughts which were discontinued earlier are all coming up again. All karmas bubble up immediately, like a top, he turns this way, that way, and all that thing, the moment he wakes up. Right? So it is all there. That means what? In Sushupti, he was not free. In Sushupti, he was not free. He was remembering everything. Everything was there. They did not express themselves. They did not manifest themselves. So they were all just dormant. So what is the conclusion now? As long as a person is ajnani, is ignorant, karma is there in him, either in active form or in passive form. Karma is there. So, karma is there all the time. So, there is no akarma for an ajnani at all. For an ajnani, for an ignorant person, there is nothing like akarma, freedom from karma at all. It's not there for him. Even in sleep, he is not akarta. He is still a karta. Even when he is asleep, he is karta in dormant form. In potential form, he is bija rupena kartrutvam vartate. Bija rupena means in the form of a seed, kartrutvam vartate. Actionlessness is never there for an ajnani at all. So what is the first point now? Ajnani does not have actionlessness at any time. That is the first point. Ajnani does not have actionlessness at any time, whether he is physically active or physically quiet. He may be sitting quiet, doesn't matter. Still, action is there in him in potential form. So this is the first point. Okay. Now let us, this is Ajnani. Now let us go to Ajnani. Ajnani is a word person. What happens to him? In the case of Ajnani, the Jnani knows I am Akarta. The Jnani knows, because he is Jnani. He knows I am Akarta, Chaitanya, Atma Swarupaha, Aham. He knows that, knows very well. And also, he knows I have no connection with Anatma, the body at all. The Jnani knows. I have no connection with my body. It is Anatma. So, Aham, Asangaha, he knows that. I have no association of any kind. I am Atma Chaitanya Swarupaha. And he also knows that Anatma is active all the time. He knows that also. He knows I am not associated with action. I am not associated with the body. But I know the body is always associated with action. He knows that all the time. And sometimes the Anatma becomes temporarily passive or quiet. It is not permanently passive. It is temporarily passive when he goes in deep sleep. So he knows that it is only a temporary passivity. It is not a permanent passivity. He knows that. So Anatma goes through two conditions. One is the active condition and another one temporarily passive condition. It is not a permanent passive condition. Temporarily passive condition. In Jagrat Swapnayam, the body and mind are active. In Sushupti Avastha, they are dormant. So this is the body. And this will repeat. When he wakes up again, he will go into active, goes to sleep again. This will go on repeating. Activity to rest, rest to activity, but all the time in potential form when he is resting also. Mind will be thoughtful sometimes. Mind will be peaceful sometimes. It will repeat also. It's not going to be free from thoughts anytime. Totally free from. But Atma is the illuminator of the thoughtful mind as well as the peaceful mind, both. Atma is the illuminator. How do I know? When I wake up, I know what is happening. Who was watching what was happening at the time when I was asleep? Atma Chaitanya. That's how we know. That is the illuminator, both in the active state and in the passive state. And the Atma does not have activity or inactivity. Atma doesn't have either of them. It is ever Akarta. Atma is ever Akarta. So the Jnani knows this. Jnani knows that he is ever Akarta, even when his body and mind are active. Even when his body and mind are active, he knows he is Akarta. Jnani knows. So in spite of the activity of the body and mind, I am actionless. That's what the Jnani knows. Because he knows I am Akarta all the time. So Jnani is ever free from karma. And Ajnani is never free from karma. That's the difference between these two. Jnani is ever free from karma. Ajnani is never free from karma. This is the second point. Are the two points. So when an Ajnani is physically sitting quiet, the entire world may say he is actionless. An Ajnani. Some sannyasis are some kind of people, you know, who wants to put that vesham of a sannyasi. He may sit quiet in a corner, close his eyes, or half closed. People might say, what a great, evolved person, Jivan Mukta. They will call all these names to him. But he is never actionless. Jnani will say, no, even though this person is physically sitting quiet, he is not free from karma. The Jnani will say that. Because he has got kartrutvam and ajnanam, karma is not gone from him at all. It is only dormant, it is only potential. If possible, this person will take up another job after getting up. Now he is quiet. The moment he gets up, he is going to take something or the other. So the difference between the Jnani and ajnani. This is what we have seen as a difference. So this is going to be the essence of this shloka. That is why we said this is a very important shloka. Now we have to imagine an Ajnani sitting quietly. That's what we have to now imagine. To understand this shloka, let us imagine an Ajnani, an ignorant person, who is trying to sit very quiet. Right? He's sitting quiet now. And all the worldly people, what they all think? That this person is a great guru, a great Jnani, a great Tapasvi, totally free from action. He is sitting quiet. That's what they all think. But the Jnani will say that he is not free from any action at all. He has got Ajnanam and Kartrutvam, which are potential karma alone. Ajnanam and Kartrutvam, potential karma alone, and therefore he is not free from action. Now if you imagine the second context, a Jnani is active. This jnani is going from place to place, country to country, starting this, starting that. So, first one is an ajnani sitting quiet. Everyone will say that he is actionless, so he is a great evolved person. But jnani will say no. Now, if you imagine a jnani being active, traveling from all these things, establishing this mud, that mud, so many things he does, more active than an ordinary person even, and all the people look at that jnani and they will all give their verdict. They will look at this jnani, their verdict they will give, they will say, this person is violently active, very aggressive, lot of rajasic nature in him. All these common people will make these kinds of verdicts on that jnani, even though all the world over, they will call that jnani as an active person, the jnani himself will look upon himself as ever free from action. Because he knows who is the karta, body is karta, aham, akarta, the jnani knows. So even if the entire world will conclude that this person is violently active, the jnani knows I am not at all active. Not even later, actually, even while the jnani is active, even when doing action, the jnani knows I am free from this action. The jnani knows that very well. So what is Vedanta now? It is that by which one sees activity in the inaction of an ajnani. Right? One sees activity in the inaction of an ajnani and also actionlessness in the action of a jnani. It's not confusing, right? One sees action in the inaction of an ajnani and also actionlessness in the action of a jnani. Confusing? No. Not right? No. You didn't get it. Why you didn't get it?
I thought I got it. Like,
you thought you got it.
Yes.
That means you are right. That means you are right. If you thought you got it, you are right. So this is the meaning of the first line of this sloka. He says, karmani akarma yaha pashyet. Karmani akarma yaha pashyet. We have to actually supply here jnani nam. We have to supply jnani nam here. Jnani nam karmani. In the action of a jnani. Jnani nam karmani. In the action of a jnani. Yaha akarma pashyet. The one who sees actionlessness. In the action of a jnani, the one who sees actionless, because the jnani will never say, I am active. He will never say, I am seeing it is fine. Actually, in the third chapter, what we said, Tattva Vittu Mahabhago, Guna Karma Vibhagayoho, Guna Guneshu Vartante, Itimatva Nasajate. That's what we saw it in the third chapter. This is matter, body is matter, that is matter, the world is matter, they will always interact. This body matter and the world matter will always interact, experiences will come. Mind is matter, world is matter. Always there will be interaction between them. Always there will be so many experiences will be there. So when a thorn pricks, mind will report it to the brain immediately. So pain will be reported there. When there is a soft cushion, mind will report the comfort to the brain. So you cannot stop all this. They will always be happening. You cannot avoid this at all. Whether it is a jnani, ajnani, this is true. So from the body point of view, whether it is a jnani's body or an ajnani's body, this is true. He has to feel the pleasure and pain. It is unavoidable for both of them. Because mind is also matter. The world is also matter. The mind-body complex, everything matter, will always contact world with this interaction. So this always will happen. But I, the Chaitanyam, am free from action as well as reaction. So I, the Chaitanyam, am always free from action and reaction, whereas the body is always having action and reaction. So the one who sees actionlessness in the activity of a jnani, and akarmani cha karma yaha. Again, you have to now supply what? Ajnanina. You have to supply, there we supply jnanina. Here we supply ajnanina. Ajnanina akarmani. The one who sees potential activity in what? In the inaction of an ajnani. Akarmani. Karmani is inaction. So if potential activity in the inaction of an ajnani one sees, saha buddhiman, such a person is called a wise man. Only such a person only is called wise man. So the one who sees the actionlessness in the action of a jnani and action in the actionlessness of an ajnani, such a person is called a wise person. Yes? Okay, yes. All right. We'll take it. Right? So what is the essence of this sloka now? That alone is cited last class. At the anatma level, at the body level, we should never work for actionlessness. At the body level, never work for actionlessness. Never try to say, okay, I am going to sit in meditation, actionless. No. It is not a thoughtless stage. Thoughts will be there. Only thing is you have to streamline the thoughts towards some focus, which is a good focus. It is not a thoughtless state. So thoughtlessness is not there. Action is there. So at the anatma level, never try to work for actionlessness at all. Anatma will have to be active. Till the last breath, body and mind will have to be active. Till the last breath, body and mind have to be active. So our aim is what? Not to stop activity at anatma level. Aim is not to stop activity at anatma level. We should allow the body and mind to work. We should always allow them to work. But what should be our aim? It is the discovery of the inner actionlessness through wisdom, through knowledge of myself. So it is the discovery of inner actionlessness through wisdom, in and through all activity. As I am engaged in activity, I should know I am actionless. Why? I am not associating myself with this body. I am Chaitanya Swarupaha. That knowledge, when it is there, you will never associate yourself with that action. That action belongs to the body. Okay. So, this is called Jnana Karma Sannyasaha. Jnanena Karma Sannyasaha. You are trying to renounce karma through Jnana. That is Karma Sannyasa. Otherwise, this is known as by another name also, Vidvat Sannyasaha. Jnana Karma Sannyasa or Vidvat Sannyasa, that is another name for the sannyasa of a wise man. The sannyasa of a wise man is not stopping activity. Normally renunciation means what? You stop, get away from. But here no, there is no such sacrifice of action. It's not stopping activity, but stopping the identification with the action. It is not stopping action, it is stopping the identification with the action. So, sa buddhiman manushyeshu sa yuktaha. Sa yuktaha. That person is called a yogi, yuktaha. Means a yogi. Not any other person. This person is called a yogi. Not the person who fasts, not the person who is fasting, who does not speak on one day. He doesn't speak for several days. He does not drink at all for a long time. We don't call those people yogi. This person only is a yogi. All those things are possible. By controlling the mind, by doing some exercises, for example, like gymnastics. Right from childhood, you train the child to do a lot of feats. That person is not a yogi. It comes out of exercise, count of abhyasa. They all can come, no problem. But that person is not a yogi. So, regardless of any extraordinary feat, one can do many extraordinary feats, moksha is not dependent on any such feat at all. Moksha is not dependent on any of those feet. We can be as normal as anybody else. This person doesn't have to have two horns, nothing, no need. He can be like any normal, any other person. What is wisdom is what? Is that understanding that in spite of activity, in spite of the limitation of my body and the mind also, I am ever Purnaha. I am Akarta. That knowledge should be there in and through every action, in and through every moment I breathe. If that action knowledge is there, that person is called a wise man. So in Vedanta, yogi means a wise person. The one who has Vedantic knowledge about what? About himself. The one who has Vedantic knowledge about himself, that person is the wise man. Saha yuktaha. Yuktaha is a yogi. So in Vedanta, yogi is a jnani. A wise person jnani. Saha kritsna karma krite. That person, such a person who is a yogi, who is a jnani, he has fulfilled all his goals. If he is a jnani like that, he has fulfilled all his goals, all his accomplishments, has nothing else to achieve in life at all. For such a person, there is nothing else to achieve. Karma here represents all goals, all accomplishments, ambitions, purusharthas. That's what karma means. Saha Krishna Karma Krita. That karma means here all the goals, accomplishments and purusharthas, ambitions. And Krishna means all. So all the goals of life have been accomplished by this person at once. The moment he becomes a jnani, all the goals of life are all accomplished by him. Right? Then you may be wondering how it is possible. It is very nice. Right? All goals of life, I want to be PhD. I want to be this, that and all. Achieved immediately. We don't want to go anywhere. You are a PhD already. Suppose I got a big list of things. I want to have this, that and all. Big house, big factory, cars. People have all ambitions, right? Normally, what we do, we fulfill all of them one by one. First, you make a budget and buy a house maybe, or buy a car. People normally do this, right? One by one. Then how a person, by sheer jnanam, he can fulfill all these desires at the same time. We normally sequentially only fulfill our desires. How can a person fulfill all these desires immediately at once? It is very, very simple. All these desires are all expression of what?
Huh?
Apurnatvam.
Yeah.
Right? Every desire is only an expression of my incompleteness. I think I will become complete by gaining that. That's what I think. They are all expressions of our apurnatvam. I am not full by myself. I think I am not full by myself. So I need this, I need that to fulfill my desires. That's what I think. So every fulfillment of desire is what? Is towards purnatvam, towards thinking that I will become purnaha by that. That's what I think. In the case of a jnani, what happens? He does not fulfill each and every desire. He doesn't fulfill at all. But what he does? He removes the root of all desires. He removes the root of all desires. That is apurnatvam. So he removes apurnatvam completely. The roots of all desires he removes. He discovers purnatvam in himself. He doesn't have to become purnaha by gaining this and that. He doesn't think that he lacks anything in life at all. Kopi navantaha kalu bhagyavantaha. I have told that earlier. This person has nothing else except his kaupinam. But he is the greatest bhagyavan. Doesn't lack anything in life. Purnaha asmi. See, that is what he is always leveling himself in that knowledge. I am happy without a car. I am happy without a video. I am happy without everything. No problem at all. I am happy. Atmani, atmani eva, atmana tuttaha. He is ever fulfilled by his own reveling in himself. Such a person. So desires are not fulfilled, but they are removed. They are dissolved. He doesn't try to remove desire. If he doesn't fulfill desires, he has no desires at all. So removing the desires and dissolving the desires and not having desire, they are all the same. So now, between these two, tell me what is easier? To fulfill all the desires is easier, or not to have desires is easier? To fulfill desire, what you have to do? You have to work very hard. You have to earn money. You have to put lot of effort. You have to do so many things to fulfill a desire.
Plus, it's an infinite list.
Infinite list. It is never, you fulfill one, something immediately comes. Something comes, immediately model changes tomorrow. That's it, I want that car. Goes on forever. So for removing the desire, we need only one thing, namely Atmajnana. For fulfilling desires, you need so many things. For removing desire, we don't need anything at all except Atmajnana alone. And how much does it cost to gain Atmajnana? Nothing. Free. Atmajnana is free. No expenditure at all. Right? So financially also it is free. Jnana is the cheapest method of fulfilling all desires. Cheapest method, rather than going on buying this and that to fulfill any desire. So next time some other thing comes up, what happens? Again desire comes towards that thing in the market. So it is impossible to keep up with our desires at all. That's what I told somewhere, right? Somebody asked, what is the biggest thing in the world? And they said, no, small person. Oh, my country is the biggest. So country is biggest, that is very nice. Then what is bigger than that? So the ocean surrounding the country is biggest. Then what is bigger than that? The world is the biggest. The universe is biggest. The entire cosmic system is the biggest. What is bigger than that? The human desire is the biggest. No limit. There is no limit for human desire at all. So the easiest method is Atmaneva Atmana Tuttaha. So Krishna Karma Krite, otherwise called Kritartaha. We call it in Vedanta as Kritartaha. I am full. That idea, notion that I am full. I don't lack anything in life. I am ever free. Aham Purnaha. So this is the very, very key verse, key sloka of this chapter. And the following slokas are going to be the glorification of this wisdom. And also the glorification of the jnani who has this wisdom. So that's going to be the next few slokas. Your jnana stuti and jnani stuti. The next slokas are going to be there. So this is a very, very important sloka in the entire Bhagavad Gita. Sloka 19. Yasya sarve samarambaha. So now the question will naturally arise. If jnani is purnaha, okay, jnani is purnaha, is free from apurnatvam, free from all desires and actions. If that is so, how do you then account for the activities of many jnanis? There are so many jnanis who are engaged in so many activities. How do you then account for all those activities? Or do you mean to say that all jnanis will sit in a corner and keep quiet? I have nothing to achieve. I have nothing to achieve. I'm purnaha. Nothing to achieve. I can sit in a corner. Can the jnanis, all the jnanis, do they do that? After all, to achieve something alone, activity is required. Why do you need activity? To achieve something only, you need activity. And Krishna says here that jnani can continue his activity in the world also. He doesn't have to sit quiet in samsara, even though he is purnaha. He can continue to do activity in the world. Even though the jnani is free from desire, even though he is purnaha, he can continue his activity, no problem. Then what is the purpose? Why should he be in activity at all? Because he is purnaha, nothing to achieve. Why should he be engaged in activity at all? Actually, Krishna has already said this in the third chapter, Sloka 20, he said, Loka Sangraha Mevapi Sampashyan Kartumatsi Karthi. He has told that earlier already. So, as long as his activity is going to be useful for the world, Loka Sangraha. So, Loka Sangraha is there. As long as his activity is going to be useful for the world, why can't he fulfill the desire of the world? He has no desire to fulfill himself. But why can't he fulfill the desire of the world? Why can't his life be a blessing to the world? That's what the jnani spends his life on. After all, body cannot keep quiet because body has to work. That we have already seen, body cannot keep quiet. We'll have to do something or the other. So body and mind are built for activity. So do not suppress activity. Body and mind are built for activity. As long as prarabdha is there, body and mind will have to be active. As long as prarabdha is there, jnani also has his prarabdha. That is why he has got this janma. So prarabdha, as long as it is there, body, mind have to be active. At the same time, the jnani does not want activity for himself, but has active body and active mind. Then what will he do? He has active body and active mind. He doesn't want it for himself. Then what will he do? For example, you have a lot of wealth. Right? Lot of wealth you have got. Much more than what you need. You don't need all of them at all. What do you do? You distribute to people. If you don't distribute, what will happen? Some other person will distribute it. So your money, distribute. Have a lot of wealth, distribute. Otherwise somebody will do it for you. So similarly, the jnani has got, what is the wealth? Self-knowledge. He has got self-knowledge. He can share it with the world. He can, being a wise person, he can share that knowledge with the world. This is called loka sangraha. That trying to share with the world, trying to help the world, trying to work for the welfare of the world. Then we may ask another question. If the jnani acts in the world for loka sangraha, he is acting now. For what? Loka sangraha. Then will he also not be bound by that karma? Loka sangraha is action. He can be bound by that karma also, right? Will he not be bound? Because his action also can fail. It can succeed. And he has a limited body. So before he completes the action, the body might go away, he may die. So the action may be incomplete. So that could be success, that could be failure, that could be incompleteness. All these things are all there for the jnani also. Yes, body is limited for him. Also, all these things can happen. So his actions also may fail. All these things can happen. So success, failure, incompleteness, they all come to jnani's action also. You should be very careful. You should not say they all can come to jnani also. They can come to jnani's action also. Success, failure, incompleteness, all of them can come to jnani's action also. Will not such things bind this person? You can ask the question. And Krishna says, no, they will not. That is why jnani is called a jnani. He is called a jnani because that won't bind him in any way. What we say is, only when action is done with karma inside, only when you do an action with the desire inside, that karma alone will bind you. When you do a karma without any desire, that karma will never bind you at all. The jnani does the karma with no desire. So it will never bind him. So jnani's karma is not karma backed. His karma is not karma backed. It is not ajnanam forced. Our karma is forced by ajnanam, ignorance. That's what we saw in the beginning, that argument, entire argument. Ajnanam, kartrutvam, karma, all that thing. So our karma is forced by ajnanam. Jnani's karma is not forced by ajnanam. It's not forced by desire. It cannot do anything to him because it is never controlled by kama or ajnanam at all. So it can do nothing to him. So nalini dala gata jalavate. That's what we have seen earlier. Like a drop of water on a lotus leaf. The water will be there on the leaf. It is associated with the leaf because it is physically there. But it will never wet the leaf. The same way a jnani does action, the action will never wet him. Means the action will never bind him with the karma phala. Okay. So this is what it is said here actually in this shloka. Sarve samarambaha. Karma, action or kriyaha. Whether writing a book, this person may be writing a book, this jnani, or he may start an ashrama, an institution, he can teach, he can do all of them. They are all samarambaha, they are beginning. Samarambaha means beginning. But what is the difference? Kama, sangalpa, varjitaha. That is the main point. All these things, whatever he does, they are all free from kama. Kama and sankalpa. Sankalpa, motive. He has no motive, no desire. Kama, sankalpa, varjitaha. All his actions are all devoid of any motive or any desire. So such a karma is not a binding karma. Because why? Jnana, agni, dakta, karma. Very nicely put. It is such a karma, that action of that jnani, it is jnana, agni, dakta, karma. Such a karma is a karma which is burned by jnana, jnana, agni. The fire of knowledge. So his action is that action which is burned by the fire of knowledge. Now we should understand what is meant by burnt by the fire of knowledge, right? Burnt by the fire of knowledge means what? It's destructive, right? Burnt. Understanding the karma does not belong to me. That is called jnanagnidakta karma. That understanding that this karma will not bind me because I am doing it with no motive. I am doing it with no desire in mind. So, abhimana rahityam eva dahanam. Here, dahanam burning means abhimana rahityam, non-identification with that karma. That alone is called burning the karma. Right? Abhimana rahityam. So, non-identification with the karma is burning of karma. So, how do we say that? When I have identified with karma, then what happens? That karma belongs to whom? Belongs to me. I identify myself with an action. I did the action. So the karma is identified, belonging to me. Then I am the karta. Then this karma, what it will do? It will produce this phala. It will produce this result. Right? And that should come to whom? To me. It cannot go to somebody else. I am the doer. It has to come to me. So when there is kartrutva, when there is doership, then karma abhimana. Abhimana means what? The association with the karma. pala ashakti, then bhoktrutvam will definitely come. Bondage will naturally come. You have to enjoy the fruits of your action. Because that bondage will naturally come. So wherever there is karma identification, we cannot avoid sukham and dukkham. Wherever there is identification with karma, you cannot avoid sukham and dukkham. That is all caused by the phala, karma phala, the result of the karma. And this alone is called bondage. This karma phala, whatever you are bound by that karma, that alone is called bondage. So for a jnani, there is no identification with karma at all. Jnani, no identification with karma, and so karma palam cannot give sukham and dukkham to jnani. Okay. Identification with karma is not there. So where is karma palam? So no sukham and no dukkham. So he will happily fail. He does some action, and in that action, if he fails, he will happily fail. No problem. He will happily succeed. He will happily die also. For a jnani, they mean nothing to him. Without completing the project, he doesn't feel, oh my God, I didn't complete this project. He will never feel that also, because for him, success, failure, incompleteness do not matter to him at all, because he is a jnani. So karma remaining the same, for a jnani and a jnani, karma remaining the same, for a jnani and a jnani, both are, even though they are same, one has binding karma, the other one is non-binding karma. For a jnani, it is non-binding. For a ajnani, it is binding. So Krishna uses the word burnt to give an illustration of a seed. Normally in Vedanta, the seed is given as illustration in many places. So he says, it's an often quoted example. But what is a seed? A seed can germinate, right? Seed can germinate. But if you roast the seed, can it germinate? So a roasted seed will not. A normal seed will germinate, but if you roast the seed, it won't. So you know, you make coffee, you roast the coffee, right? And nicely ground coffee, beautiful flavor comes when you grind, when you roast it only, not other than. That coffee seed you go and plant, it will not be a coffee plant. The roasted seed won't, it won't germinate at all, right? So it is, even though it is a seed for all practical purposes, it looks like a seed, no problem, the weight has not changed, everything is same for all practical purposes. That roasted seed cannot germinate. Similarly, jnani's action is like a roasted seed. Even though it's also a seed, it's also same action. Whatever an ajnani does, he does the same action, no difference at all whatsoever. But this action will not germinate to give karma phala. It will not give him any phala at all. He will not have any punya papa. He will not have any sukha dukkham coming out of that at all. Okay. So this cannot germinate into samsara. A seed can germinate into a plant. Here, this seed cannot germinate into samsara. So whereas an ajnani's action, an ignorant person's action, will germinate into punarapi jananam, punarapi maranam. I got the souvenir for you, but I'll leave it in the office. So an ajnani's action will germinate to punarapi jananam and punarapi maranam. Samsara tree will always germinate out of that. So such a person who does karma and remains a karma sannyasi, he does karma but remains as a karma sannyasi, that person is called a pandita. Panditaha. He is called a wise man. Who calls him a wise man? An ajnani cannot call him a wise man, because ajnani doesn't know what is wisdom. He cannot call him a wise man. Tam, him, ahuhu, means he is called by wise man, buddhaha. So a wise person calls this person as a pandita. Because only he can understand such a person, so he calls him a pandita. Shloka 20. Tyaktva karma pala sangam.
Tyaktva karma pala sangam. Tyaktva karma pala sangam.
Nitya trupto nirashrayaha.
Nitya trupto nirashrayaha. Nitya trupto nirashrayaha.
Tyaktva karma pala sangam. Nitya trupto nirashrayaha.
Tyaktva karma pala sangam. Nitya trupto nirashrayaha. Tyaktva karma pala sangam. Nitya trupto nirashrayaha.
Karmanya vipravruttopi.
Karmanya vipravruttopi. Karmanya vipravruttopi.
Naiva kinchit karoti saha.
Naiva kinchit karoti saha. नैव किञ्चित् करोति सः
कर्मण्य विप्रवृत्तोऽपि नैव किञ्चित् करोति सः
कर्मण्य विप्रवृत्तोऽपि नैव किञ्चित् करोति सः कर्मण्य विप्रवृत्तोऽपि नैव किञ्चित् करोति सः
सो दिस् ज्ञान कर्म सन्यासी आर् विद्वत् सन्यासी वि ऑलरेडी यूज्ड् द टर्म विद्वत् सन्यासी हि इज फर्दर डिस्कस्ड इन दिस श्लोकास And Krishna is going to divide this Vidvat Sannyasi into two types. Vidvat Sannyasi is divided into two types. First is what? Vidvat Sannyasi, we have now clearly understood, is for all practical purposes an ordinary person only. For all practical purposes, an ordinary person only. Physically, no difference at all. The only difference is what? In the buddhi, in his knowledge. Otherwise, he is same like anybody else. He knows whatever the body and mind do, I am not doing. This man knows that, this jnani knows that. Whatever the body mind does, I don't do that. So this is a Vidvat Sannyasi who can be divided into two types. Now one type is that Vidvat Sannyasi who is very much in the society, in the Grahastha Ashrama, playing an active role as a husband, as a manager, as a father, as a son, all that thing, as a king. He is doing all this activity, but he is still a Vidvat Sannyasi. He is in Pravritti Marga. He is in the Pravritti Marga, engaged always in some action or the other, doing something, going after something or the other. So for all practical purposes, his individuality is very much there. He is king, he is father, he is son, he is husband. So individuality is very much there, being in society. So this person's individuality is maintained, but he is still a Vidvat Sannyasi. But even though all these things continue, this person knows in and through every action, every moment of his life, he knows that these statuses, all these statuses belong to whom? The Anatma, the body. He never associates any of them with himself, the Chaitanyam. He associates all of them with his Anatma, the body. I, the Atma, am not a husband, not a father, not an employee. He knows that. My body alone belongs to all these things. I am not. So I am free from all these various statuses. Whatever statuses is, I am free from all of them. And at Anatma level, all these will continue. At body level, they will all continue. And a time will come where they will all go away also. So long as a person is there, all these things will be his manager as long as he is there in service. The moment he is retired, he is no more manager. Once he dies, even other statuses go away. So they will go away at some point in time. This is one type of sannyasi. He is a Vidvat Sannyasi, alright. But who is in Grahastha Ashrama? Always in Pravritti Marga. Then the second type is the one who does not play any role in society at all. No role in society, no family. He is in Nivritti Marga. So the other one is Pravritti Marga. This is Nivritti Marga, who is not playing any role in society. He has no wife, no children, no family, no employment, no bank account also. Such a person. So his activities are not going to be many for such a person. Right? He has no other activity at all. Right? So no responsibilities for him, no college admission, no children to marriage, no activity for this person. And what is there for him? Shariram kevalam karma. Whatever activities are required to maintain this body alone, he has. He has to take bath, he has to eat food. Whatever minimum required for maintaining the body, he has to have only those things. So if at all he does any duty, that duty is what? Is the propagation or the maintenance of the Guru Shishya Parampara. He can teach his student so that this Guru Shishya Parampara can be maintained. So wherever he is, he goes, if somebody is interested, he can share his knowledge with them. That is all the activity he is going to do. He has no other big activity at all. And if nobody is interested, what? Atmaneva Atmana Trutaha. He is happy with himself. If somebody wants to know, he will teach. Somebody doesn't want to know, nothing, no problem at all. He is happy. He is always happy with himself. So we have got now Nivritti Marga. So Nivritti Margastha Vidvat Sannyasi and Pravritti Margastha Vidvat Sannyasi. We have got two types of sannyasi. That's what Krishna says. And Krishna wants to say is there is no difference between these two at all. Whether you are in Pravritti Marga, you are a sannyasi in Grihastha Ashrama, or whether you are a separated person from society as a real sannyasi, as a Nivritti Sannyasi, between these two, there is no difference at all. No inferiority or superiority between them. Both are equal sannyasis. Both of them equally enjoy Jivan Mukti. Both of them enjoy. Both are Atmanyevam, Atmana Tushtaha. How both can be same? That question will come. How both are same? because both are not identified with anatman and its roles. Anatma, the body, and its roles, both have not identified themselves. So this Nivritti Margastha Sannyasi, he may be teaching Shastras, he may be teaching Vedanta, but he is not identifying himself with the teaching part. Teaching is done by Atma or Anatma? Teaching is done by Anatma, right? Yes?
Okay.
Teaching is done by Anatma. Atma doesn't teach. Teaching is done by the body only. Anatma only teaches. The Anatma will not identify even with the saffron robe he is wearing. Because for Anatma, where is robe? Nothing, right? For the Atma. So, similarly, the Pravritti Margata Svirdha Sannyasi, he is not going to identify again with his role also. He may be a Vidvat Sannyasi, he may be a Pravritti Margata, he may be husband, he may be father, he can be student, he can be employer. He will not identify with any of those roles at all. He will do the duty of that role. Janaka was a king. He was a Jnani, Brahma Jnani. He was a king. He will not identify with that role, but he will do the duty of a king. See, that only jnanam required, so much of knowledge is required to be in that way. To be, in Tamil we have got a fruit called Vilambada. They call it dry apple or wood apple, they call it. You know, when it is fully ripe, it will rattle. You know, it will rattle, that fruit will rattle. The fruit inside is fully ripe. It will have no connection with the shell. That is how himself and his action will be. For the jnani, his action, his body and knowledge, it should be like that. Even though he is functioning in society, carrying out all activities, he will be totally disconnected from all those actions. So the difference in role does not, they belong, all these differences in role, they belong to only Anatma and does not belong to Atma. So we should not say that means Jnani, you know, if he is a Grahastha, has a little less Ananda than the another Jnani who is not a Grahastha. You cannot say that a Grahastha Sannyasi, his pressure is a little less compared to the other one who is wearing saffron robes and sitting in a hut. No, both are only same. Actually, a Grahastha Jnani is one who will not call himself a Grahastha. Only Anatma Krishtya he is a Grahastha. Only from the body angle, from the Anatma angle only he is a Grahastha. Otherwise, he is not a Grahastha at all. So, a Grahastha Jnani is as much liberated as a sannyasi can. That's what Krishna points out. So Arjuna, what matters is not your role in life. Your ashrama does not mean anything. Right? So your ashrama does not mean anything. What means is only wisdom. Then if both are same, Grahastha Jnani and Sannyasi Jnani, if both are same, both have the same this thing, then what will be your choice? We can ask the question, right? Should I pursue this marga or that marga? Both gives wisdom, equal wisdom. I can have a choice whether I want to pursue or this or that. Shankaracharya says, it is driven according to prarabdha. No choice. Then according to prarabdha, a person will have conducive atmosphere for sannyasa life, whereas the other one may have the conducive temperament for a grahastha life. Right? So according to prarabdha, whatever is necessary is to be done. That's what will be done. He cannot say, okay, I will do this. His prarabdha will force him to be going to this marga or that marga. But both are same only. Give same result, but he can have this or that. So if he is a responsible person and taking sannyasa will affect the family or society for that person, you know, if he is doing that, he will not take it. So Shankaracharya, he writes actually brilliant commentaries on this thing for all these shlokas. He clearly differentiates between these two types of sannyasis. Because of prarabdha, he is not able to take sannyasa. He is forced to remain in grahastha ashrama and he will continue in grahastha ashrama also because of prarabdha. But very important thing is, he does not continue there because of his attachment to them. Like Janaka, as I told. He is not continuing grahastha ashrama because he loves his family, his children, grandchildren and all. No, he loves them all right. He is not bound by them. So if he remains, because he is afraid of sannyasa. For example, you take a situation where this person is a grahastha sannyasi because he is afraid of taking real sannyasa. Yeah, real sannyasa has a lot of problems. Right from early morning coffee, you have to worry. Who is going to give me coffee tomorrow morning? cannot do anything himself, right? So if he is not afraid of that, then if he is afraid of that, then that means he doesn't have jnana at all. So he is not a jnani at all, right? In that sense. But if he finds that he does not have to remain in family life, he may take sannyasa also. If he does, if he thinks. So why should he take? Because he may play a different role in the sannyasa life. In the gravastha life, he may not be able to play that role. Then he can play. For example, regardless of whatever ashrama he is not bothered about it, because all ashramas belong to only anatma, the body. Ashramas belong to the body. Ashramas do not belong to the jnani at all, to the atma at all. So in this shlokas, Krishna, he is going to talk about both types of jnanis also. And some shlokas will be talking about the grihastha sannyasi or active sannyasi, active vidvat sannyasi. And some others will be talking about the nivritti sannyasa, nivritti margastha sannyasi, withdrawn from all worldly connections, such person. In the 20th shloka that we just read, we get the sannyasi who is the active type. This talks about the active type of sannyasi, the one who is a grihastha sannyasi, but who is a jnani. He is a jnani who is a grihastha sannyasi. And what type of person he is? He says, nitya triptaha. What a nice way of putting it. He is a grihastha who is living the grihastha life. He is nitya triptaha, always contented. How many grihasthas can be always contented? Nobody is contented, right? He is nitya triptaha. That is the lakshanam of that sannyasi, a jnani, always contented. Family will have a lot of problems. He is sitting in the family. Family will have a lot of problems. And this grihastha sannyasi, he is very much aware of all those problems. He is seeing all those problems. He is very much aware of them. So whatever can be done, he will do to the best of his ability to solve those problems also. Some may be solved, some may not be solved, some may not have solution at all. All these things are possible in grihastha life. In day-to-day life, we see all of them, right? And so, he very much recognizes these. All these things he recognizes. But what happens? None of them affect him. He is actively engaged in finding solution for all these problems. But he doesn't have worry in his head. He does it as a duty. He does it to help the other people in the family, other members of the family. But they don't affect him. He is nitya triptaha. He is ever contented. In spite of problems, he is triptaha. In spite of so many problems in the family, he is ever contented. Now the question is, how that is possible? Right? We can say so. It's all nicely, nice to hear. If you go out of the room and go to the house, then we will know. Right? That's what we always say. Till that time, it's all nice to hear. Krishna gives the reason. Nirashrayaha. The reason for that, why he is nityatripta, is because he is nirashrayaha. His vritti is not dependent on any external factor whatsoever. His happiness does not depend on any external factor whatsoever. To be happy, it is not the type of wife he has, it is not the type of children he has, it is not the type of job he has, it is not his own bodily condition. None of them have any role on his happiness. They have no role at all. Then what should be, then why should he then continue in the family? We can ask that question also. If a person is like that, what is that? Who is like a sannyasi man? What husband he is? What, you know, he has no involvement at all in the family. Right. So why should be in the family at all? We have seen this already earlier. He does not continue in the family because he needs them. He does not continue because he needs them, but still he continues because he feels that they need him. They need him for some more time perhaps. As long as this bull can work, they will need him perhaps. He knows that. So he continues the family. He does whatever he can do to them also. Whatever may be his age, whatever self he can be of to them, he still continues to do that. But he is totally secluded from the binds of that family and those relationships. Okay. So he does not lean on them, but they lean on him. Father, who said father does not do that? Who said father should not do that?
No, I'm saying, but we are saying that he's not attached. So,
attached to the means as a duty, as a love, he should show to everybody. But it is not binding him. He knows that it's another body, right? Son is another body, wife is another body. He knows his body. He treats other bodies as different as his own body. So this person, he knows his body is also different from him. But it is his duty as a father. It is his duty to do all these things. He cannot run away from duty. Duty has to be done. But that should not cause worry to him. It will not cause worry to him. He will do it as a duty. To love the wife, to love the child also is a duty as a father. He has to do it. He will do it. He will fulfill. He has to also run from pillar to post to get admission for KG for the child. He will do it. There is no choice. But it will not bind him. He will not be worried by it. He has to show affection. He has to show love. All these are duties. Okay. So, if he continues in the family, settle, then he need not do any karma. Okay. Then we can have another question. If his contentment does not come from other people, then where does he get the contentment from? Right. He doesn't get happiness from anybody else. He doesn't depend on anybody else for his happiness. Nobody needs to do anything to make me happy. He thinks like that. Then where his happiness comes from? Krishna says, Atmanyeva Atmana Tuttaha comes from his own true nature, the Atma. It doesn't come from anywhere else. It comes from himself only. Then in that case, should he do karma at all? He is happy by himself. Should he have to do karma at all? He need not have to do any karma. Why? Again, for two reasons. One is, karma is backed by what? Karma. Karma is always backed by desire. We want something out of anything we do. Whatever you do, you ask the question, what is in it for me? First question, right? So if for anything, we want always something from whatever action we do. So this jnani need not do any karma for himself. Has no karma at all. He has no desire at all. He does not depend upon karma phalam. And so, he need not do anything for himself. This jnana. Okay? But if he continues to be in the family, certainly he will have karma. Not for his sake, but for the sake of all others. Showing love to them is also his duty. He has to do that. But even when he does it, karma phala asangam tektva. That is the trump card. Even when he does the activity, karma phala asangam tektva. He has given up the attachment, asana. He has given up the attachment. He has given up the anxiety for the karma phala. For the result, he tried so hard to get his son into a great college. If he comes, fine. Doesn't come, it doesn't affect him. He will say, okay, no problem, let us try another college. So it's not affecting him in any way at all. So even criticism, this is most common, even criticism, especially when you are a family person. Criticism will always come, always some criticism or other will be there. Especially in joint families, this is worse. People, you know, when they go through that, they know it's very, very tough. Neighbors, they will criticize. Groups of people, even within the house, there will be groups. So this sister-in-law and that sister-in-law together. So all these things will happen. So if you attend a function, if you join any group, one type of people will talk like this, another type of people will talk something else. You can never please everybody. Always this will be happening. So whatever you do, people will talk, and they comment on that. This is the nature of it. That's what they will do. But this person is deaf. This person is deaf about all of them, and does not bother at all. It doesn't cause any worry to him, even a bit, because his happiness does not depend upon either they appreciate or do not appreciate, or they disgrace, grace, none of these things matter to him. He is happy by himself. That's what. So, tyaktva karma phala sangam. And here also we have an incidental point that we should remember. In the second chapter, in the karma yoga, when we discussed about the karma yoga topic, was discussed some portions, there also Krishna said, to renounce karma phala asangam, there also he said, for a karma yogi. For a karma yogi, what he said? Karma. So, yogastha kuru karmani sangam tyaktva dhananjaya. There also he said, sangam tyaktva. You renounce association. That's what he told at that time also. Now, for a jnani also, he is telling the same thing. This jnani, in the grihastha sannyasi, He has also what? Karma phala, asangam, tyaktva, he says. Now between a karma yogi and jnani, we should not confuse. How come Krishna says the same thing for a karma yogi and also for a jnani? Right? When you read Gita all together, some point in time, these things, all these contradictions will come. That is why I am raising these questions now. Second chapter, you will read it like that. Now you come to fourth chapter. Oh, that he said about a jnani like a karma yogi like that. Now he is telling about a jnani like this. How jnani and karma yogi are the same? You know, we will ask these questions ourselves. Because we normally can get confused. Karma yogi is whom? He is a sadhaka. Karma yogi is not a jnani. Karma yogi is still a sadhaka only. He tries to renounce attachment. Karma yogi is still a sadhaka. He tries to renounce attachment. Whereas here we are talking about not a karma yogi. We are talking about a jnana yogi. But the one who has already become a jnani. This person has already become a jnani. So a karma yogi struggles to renounce attachment. For him it is a sadhana. He can never totally renounce attachment at all because he is still an ajnani. So a karma yogi, even though he is a karma yogi, he is still an ajnani. He is ignorant only. So he can never totally renounce at all because he is still an ajnani. He struggles. And that I should not get attached to karma balam. He always struggles to get that notion all the time. It will give me sukha, dukkha, all those things will be there, but I should not get attached to them. The karma yogi, he practices that sadhana. That's what he does. And when failure comes, sorrow will attack him. He's still ajnani. So karma yogi, when failure comes, sorrow will attack him. But with the wisdom, what he will do? Oh, karmani eva adhikarahate. He knows that. Okay, my role is only to karma. I should not worry about the result. So after that, he will think about that. So he does an action. Some palam will come. And if it is going to be sorrowful, he will think, oh, what happened? He will be in sorrow. But immediately he will say that wisdom will come. Karmani eva adhikarahate maapaleshu. So he will understand that. Then he will console himself. That is a sadhana for a karma yogi. Right? Okay. So karma yogi, what he does? He does everything that a jnani does. But all of them are all precariously balanced. For a jnani, they are spontaneous. This is like a guy who is learning, you know, newly riding a bicycle. Right? You put that, somebody is holding you, you go pedal for some time, and without any knowledge, that guy takes his hand out. At that time, you do like this, precariously balancing the bike. That's what the karma yogi does. He tries to balance between sukham and dukkham with that precarious attitude, precarious manner. That's what a karma yogi does. Because he's an ajnani. His detachment, etc., is very, very precariously balanced only. Actually, Krishna talked about them in the second chapter, 40, 47, 48, some of the shloka. That's why I'm noting here. But here, we are talking about a sthira prajna, not a karma yogi. Talking about a sthira prajna here. He is a jnani for whom detachment is natural. He is spontaneous. It is not something he is precariously balancing. It is not a sadhana for him. It is natural for him. It is spontaneous for him. So for a karma yogi, detachment is deliberate. He has to struggle. And he can succeed to some extent for a karma yogi. But for a jnana yogi, for a jnani, he does not practice detachment. For a karma yogi, he has to practice detachment. For a jnani, he doesn't have to practice detachment. It is natural for him. It is spontaneous for him. That is his lakshana. We call it in Vedanta, that is his lakshana. So for karma yogi, it is a sadhanam, that is deliberate. For a jnani, it is his lakshanam, which is natural, which is spontaneous. And why we said this? Because normally when we see these words, one should not interpret that a jnani is a karma yogi. This is normally people make this mistake. You interpret that he will say that person is a jnani, he is a great karma yogi. You go to the acharya, some acharya, and say, oh, he's a great karma yogi. No. A jnani is an evolved person. Karma yogi is still an amateur. He is still in the process only. So, tyaktva karma palasangam. Karmani avipravrittaha api. Krishna, how he uses the word so nicely. Even though he is very much involved in action as a grahastha, he has a very big family and all, his responsibilities are too high. So, he is not karmani pravrittaha, he is karmani avipravrittaha. Okay? Completely involved in action. But whatever is his physical and mental conditions are, running here and there to do this and that for the family, planning all the time, he has to plan so many things in life, all these things he can be doing, but what is his true nature? Naiva kinchit karoti saha. He does not do anything. He is running here and there. He is trying to get admission for his children. He is trying to get his children married. He is, all these things he is doing. In spite of all this, he is ever actionless. And we already saw that thing in the beginning. What is this actionlessness? Actionless action. We already saw that earlier. He does not do anything at all. For him, all these things become a big drama only. For this person, they are all like taking some role in a drama, an actor. Right? Here the plot, you know, he gets some serious. The actor in the drama, he gets serious. The plot will be something very serious. He becomes actually almost one with the actual character in the drama. The moment drama is over, he goes back to the green room. Oh, how is my action? How is my acting? That's what he will ask. How was my role? He will not ask how. For him, that is only a role played for that particular drama, and there it ended. That's what this person also will think. So every time he comes to the green room, this person forgets all his roles and enjoys being an actor. I am an actor. He doesn't think that I was in that role, so I am associated with that role, I am that person. He doesn't do that at all. So after the daily task of going, you know, he has to shout at children sometimes. Many times that happens, right? They don't practice this, you shout at the children, you do this and that. All those things you do, after all those, even he has to go to court, so many things can happen for him. He becomes back to himself once these activities are over. Because they are all done as a sense of duty. They have nothing to do with him as the Chaitanya Swarupaha, as the Atma. So Atmani evam, Atmana, Tushtaha, Siyas Tatsita Pragyaha, Tatuchyate. So Naiva Kinchit Karoti Saha. He does not do anything. So these are all important slokas. How you can be in action and be actionless. Okay, that is most important thing. That is how you drive away worries, you drive away anxieties, that is how you take care of your day-to-day chores without affecting yourself. Problems will be there. You cannot run away from problems. You have to solve problems. And solving the problems without affecting yourself. That is the crux of all the slokas.